We are called by God to worship him. The psalmist says, praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord, and they are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. We're going to join together now in the praise of God as this psalm calls us to praise the Lord in those words of Psalm 111. The words may not be well known to us, but the tune will be. So let's join together in praise of God as we sing Psalm 111 together. We're now going to join together in prayer. And Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you this day and we praise you, the Lord. We extol you within our heart and with the council of the upright and the assembly of the gathered people here today as we come for corporate worship as people who you have called, marveling at your great works. We ponder at them. For how you spoke in the beginning, and by your word, all that has been made was made. You're the one who has caused your wonders to be remembered, the one who is gracious and compassionate, the one who has shown that through the Lord Jesus Christ to us. For Lord, as we come, we know that we are altogether sinful. That, Lord, our thoughts and our deeds have been affected and so marred by the fall that before you that we have no righteousness in ourselves, that we deserve your wrath and judgment. But yet your grace and your compassion has shown to us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He rose and ascended and sent the Helper, the Spirit, to come and to dwell inside us, applying that salvation to us. So that we can come this day fully confident and assured that we are forgiven, that we are reconciled to you, the living God. For you indeed have provided redemption for us. Lord, you have ordained your covenant forever. Holy and awesome indeed is your name as we have sang. And Lord God, as we come, we ask that you may so fill us with your word this day, in all that takes place, by your Spirit working inside us, that we may be able to live more and more for the praise and the glory of your name. That nothing that I may do or add may take away from your word, but Lord, that we may hear it, know it, understand it, and live it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ordinary means of grace and how we can come, hear your word, read your word, and pray your word. Bless us in all that takes place. Be glorified, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read together from God's word today. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 19 to 28 as we continue chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 19 to 28. I've split it into two sections. The first, 19 to 20, the Lord remembers. And then verse 21 to 28, giving to God what is his. 1 Samuel chapter 1, reading from verse 19. This is God's word. Early the next morning, they arose and they worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you," Elkanah, her husband, told her. "Stay there until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "As surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Amen. We thank God for his word. We can trust all that it says. In life, we can often face things, can't we, that none of us have ever imagined that we would face, that no amount of schooling could have prepared us for, that no amount of life experience had left us prepared for. Last week, as we came to 1 Samuel, we were introduced to Mr. Average, Elkanah, of nowhere really important. We had learned about his family circumstances. We had learned about how they weren't ideal. And in all likelihood, some of the things that were there may, for some of you, have brought the pain that you experienced in the past right back to the very forefront of your mind. Or maybe it struck a chord with you because you're walking through a similar situation with someone that you know and love right now, or you're journeying through it with someone. Last week, as we looked at this ordinary family of Hannah and Elkanah, we saw how in the midst of it all, things were hard. Things for Hannah were just pain and bitterness as she was tormented by Elkanah's other wife, and how that with nowhere else to turn, Hannah turned to the Lord. And even in the midst of her crying out to the Lord in chapter 1, Eli the priest accused her of being a drunk woman in the tent of meeting, but yet he sent her with God's blessing. But as we look there in what happened just there at the end of verse 18, which you didn't read this morning, we see that even whenever she is sent with God's blessing, she leaves with hope. She's no longer downcast. She's able to leave with a smile on her face because she has faith. She's evidence of things not seen. She's transformed by the hope of God within her. So no longer downcast, she leaves. But in effect, for Hannah, absolutely nothing's changed. Diddly squat has changed. She's still the same Hannah in still the same circumstances. She was still going home to face the same taunting. She was going to go home and experience the same family life and the constant digs. You know, why haven't you any children, Hannah? You know, where did the Lord bless you, Hannah? And the reality of her circumstances would once more come to the forefront. But you see, that wasn't the Lord's final word in it all. The Lord here breaks into this situation, into a time whenever every man did what was right in his own eyes, and he brings forth a new leader for his people, as the Lord remembers Hannah. And we see that in these opening two verses that we're looking at today, verse 19 and 10. So Elkanah and his family were worshiping the Lord. They were there in Shiloh, and Hannah had wept bitterly. She couldn't eat. She cried out to the Lord. But here they go home. They rise the next morning, and they went back to their home. In ways, it was a journey that she had faced many times before. Nothing was very different. But this time, she went with the hope of the Lord in her heart. She had literally cast her burdens away from her. It's like standing at the side of a lake and you lift up the stones and just throw them away. She'd given it to the Lord. She had passed it upon, given it to the Lord. And whenever they got home, what are we told here? Whenever they got home in Ramah, Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. See, here the word that's used, and if you've got a King James Version in front of you or an English Standard Version, it puts it so much better to emphasize what's going on here, because it says Elkanah knew his wife. Knew his wife. Either way, whether we say he lay with his wife or he knew his wife, we know what it means, don't we? We understand. But if we take it as the way that it's meant to sound, the way that it's meant to be portrayed, that he knew his wife, then it's got something so much more. It means that God, what God had intended for them, they enjoyed. They had become one flesh. See, there's so much more to an act that takes place here. Knowing that he knew her is a much better description than lay. When we read that the Lord remembered, it's not that he had forgotten Hannah. The Lord always knew Hannah. The Lord always knows every part of his creation, but rather the Lord is acting according to his covenant promises. When the Lord remembered, we have to know that the Lord is telling us that he's going to do something here. The Lord is doing what he said he would do, because the Lord remembered and he is intervening on behalf of his people to bring about his Messiah. The Lord gave Hannah a son and his name was Samuel. You see, the Lord remembered his covenant and he was going to intervene in the people of God in their lives. He was going to bring forth a new leader for his people, being Samuel. Because the Lord was keeping his promises. The Lord was going to bring his blessing to the people of the world through the one that would come. He was going to institute a monarchy. But ultimately, what we see in these verses is that the Lord was at work through ordinary people, through Mr. Average, through no one really important, through a desperate situation that nobody could have done anything about in Hannah's life. It was a time when everybody did what was right in their own eyes, but through a faithful family, God was at work. See, God hadn't forgotten his promises. God never forgets his promises. God had not abandoned his people. Instead, God was at work, and whenever it seemed that anything could be further from the truth, God was bringing about his purposes. Seeing it today, if we know and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ here today, if we've trusted in him for the salvation that he freely offers, then we can have confidence that whenever we stand before the Lord God as judge, we will be remembered before him. But before we jump on to the next few verses, I want to draw a few more things out of this. Look back to verse 12 and you'll see Hannah coming before the Lord in prayer. She kept praying, the Lord, and Eli observed her mouth. She poured her heart out to the Lord. She cast her burdens on the Lord. She gave them over to the Lord. And It's not there saying that she's crying to some magical genie in the sky, that she's turning to her good luck charm or some unknown God. But you'll see there that the Lord is told to us in verse 12 in capital letters. It's a personal name for God. It's Yahweh. Hannah is crying out to the God whom she knew and whom she loved. See, as we cry out to the Lord God, we do it through the Lord Jesus Christ. We do it as a congregation. We pray together, but we do it as individuals. We do it in the name of Jesus Christ. We come before him humbly and prayerfully. Hannah's prayer was answered, but we will all know circumstances in our own life whenever we've prayed about something and we've prayed long and hard about it, and it seems that the Lord is silent. It seems that the Lord hasn't answered. It seems that the Lord isn't listening. But we have kind of confidence that the Lord is indeed there. The Lord indeed hears our prayers through the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we offer in the name of Jesus Christ is heard. Sometimes our prayers will be answered. Other times we'll be told to wait. And sometimes we'll be told no. We need to trust in the Lord in the silence. Hannah's prayer here was answered wonderfully. But it doesn't mean that all our prayers will be. Yet God is at work and he can use our circumstances for his glory. Then as the passage continues in verse 21 to 28, we're reminded about giving to God what is already his. So the question that we ended with last week, does God care, has been answered. The Lord has given Hannah a son. She has given him Samuel. The Lord has shown that he cares about her. The question remains now is, what will Hannah do? Because the Lord's answered her question, but in the sense, you know, she's got a son, but what would she do with this son? The son that she longed for, that she cried out in bitterness of soul, would she indeed keep her vow and give him back to the Lord? But as we are introduced here in verse 19, it seems when Elkanah went up, Hannah didn't go with him. She says, let me keep him here. Let me keep him here until he's weaned. There's a sense that we can understand this. She tells her husband to go, just wait, I want to stay here. Why didn't she go for the journey and come back? But instead, she decides to wait. She had to wait until he was weaned. Now today, babies are weaned at about 6 months old. But in the days of Hannah, Samuel wouldn't have been weaned until about 3 years old. He'd have been breastfed until that stage. And Hannah's husband, Elkanah, says, do what seems best to you, verse 23. You know, Hannah's husband, Elkanah, in what she said she would do, supports her decision. And in the culture of this time, we may not realize this. It's not like today. In the culture of the time, if Elkanah had said no, she would have been bound by his word to go with him. You know, Elkanah could have simply said no. She would have had to do it. Instead, he does something wonderful. He says, whatever seems best to you. He's not saying this just for a quiet life because he doesn't want a sore ear. He's saying this because he loves his wife. And if he had said no, if he had said Samuel stays here, if Samuel stays with me, then Hannah would have been released from her vow. Elkanah didn't take the easy way out. He could have kept the son. Samuel would have been his rightful heir, but instead, he loves his wife sacrificially. And man, I want to talk to you for a wee minute, for any of you who are married. Hannah here loved his wife sacrificially. Sacrificially. See, as men, those of us who are married, this is what we are to do. We are to look to the example of our Lord Jesus Christ and how he gave himself up for his bride, the church on the cross. And this is how we are to live. In our marriages, we love our wives sacrificially. We put their wants, their desires, their needs before our own wants and desires and our constant desire to be teenage boys. We love our wives sacrificially. See, that's what Elkanah is doing. Samuel was the rightful heir, but yet he still said to his wife, do what seems right to you. So the time came, Elkanah went up and he went to worship the Lord. And then Samuel was weaned at about 3 years old. Now, some of the boys and girls here are about that stage. But imagine Hannah's heart as she gets closer and closer to Shiloh. The dread of giving the son whom she longed for so much back to the Lord. So as they go, they take a three-year-old bull. That's what we're told in verse 24. And an ephah of flour and a skin of wine. I want you to notice a wee thing. If you look there in your verse 24, after the word bull, more than likely you'll see a little letter in the text before you. If you look down at the bottom, there's a subtext that says, with three bulls. You see, translators looked at this passage and it says three bulls. And they went, here, this is an extremely excessive gift. And on one level, it doesn't really matter whether it's three bulls or one bull. We get the idea that a bull plus the 22 liters effectively is an ephah of flour, which is about 12 kilograms. You know, we look at this and it's an awfully big offering, no matter what way you put it. But you see, whenever we know that the offering of flour with one bull is a third of an ephah, then we begin to understand that, in fact, this was three bulls. She takes enough flour to sacrifice three bulls and enough wine to sacrifice three bulls. Effectively, Hannah was making such an excessive, generous offering. In a culture, whenever they would have been subsistence farmers, it shows the wealth on one hand of Elkanah, but it's also showing where Hannah's heart was as she gives to the Lord. Today, it would be like saying that Hannah brought with her a full dairy herd, say 80 milking cows, another 20 dry cows, 10 heifers and 20 calves. And she brought them with her and gave them to the Lord at Shiloh. This is a costly sacrifice, a costly offering. The flowers equivalent to 12 kilo bags, and the wine that she brings is a jerry can full, a 5 gallon drum. Wine with her. But I want you to put this on one hand. The offering that she gave, which was grand and big and exceedingly generous. And then on the other hand, her son. Her son, which she brought before the Lord. Her son, which she gave to the Lord in the service of him. She shows a heartfelt gratitude as she gives the son to the Lord. You know, when we think of the cost of giving a son in this context, so young, so helpless, we should also remember what God has done for us. How he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world totally helpless as a babe. To live and to die for us on our behalf so that we would be redeemed from our sin. At great cost to himself, greater cost than Hannah gave. So this mother, Hannah, who longed for a child, effectively, who struggled to have a child, who wanted it so badly, arrives at the Burke household and says, here's my son, I'm giving him to the Lord, and here's something to help as you raise him. The likelihood is that she brings him to Eli, that Eli wouldn't even have remembered who she was. After all, this is about 4 years ago that this lady who came and prayed and who he thought was drunk because he didn't know what prayer looked like, arrived at the temple. She had asked the Lord and the Lord had answered. You see, I want to give you a literal translation of what Hannah said to him in verse 26. See, Hannah says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord gave me my asking. which I asked from him. And I also gave back what I asked of the Lord all the days of his life, the one that is asked of the Lord. See, Hannah makes it clear as she comes that this boy is what I asked for. This boy that I desired so much, I gave back to the Lord as young as he was. And what we're told is that she left him there and he worshipped the Lord. See, Hannah had given her son Samuel back to the Lord because he was always the Lord's. He was a gift from the Lord's. Even though Hannah gave her son to the Lord God, though, she was still concerned for his welfare. She would come year after year. And the Lord did indeed bless Hannah and Elkanah with more children. Hannah here kept her vow. She'd been given a son, but she gave him back to the Lord. See, this first chapter, in the days whenever a man did what was right in his own eyes, introduces us to the hope that there is coming, that God, in fact, remembers his covenant, that he is at work in the darkest of all days, even when a time when every man did what was right in his own eyes. See, there are many insights as we come that can challenge us here today. There are a few things I want to draw out with us as we close here today. So we have this family, the family of Hannah and Elkanah. Okay, it was a bit of a mess, but we have a family who come year after year in service of the Lord to worship him. In the days whenever the world and everything around them moved further and further and further away, they still came to the Lord at worship. They still came to the Lord as he had prescribed. Regardless of the difficulties, regardless of how far they had to travel, and regardless of the expense it was to them, they took worship seriously. And likewise, so should we. See, as this world becomes darker, as this world moves further and further and further away from God, God calls his people to take his worship seriously, to be faithful in the midst of what we do. And as we do so in this world of darkness, it will be clearer for those around us to see that we do indeed love the Lord God. He calls us to come to worship him. And although this world becomes darker, we know that Christ is still at work in this place. The next is the example of Hannah and Elkanah. They give their son to the Lord. This should be the motivation of every Christian parent. That instead of being driven by worldly motives, things that we think are for the good of our children, as we try to instill in them what they need to do is work hard, get a good education, what they need to do is get to university or have a business, and what they need is wealth, fame and honor. Greatest desire should be that they should walk with the Lord all the days of their life. They should grow in the fear and the knowledge of the Lord. See, Hannah, as she brought her son Samuel, she knew that he was a gift from the Lord, and likewise, all our children. Each and every one of you boys and girls here today are a gift from God. And those parents who truly love their children will do all that they can to see their children go in the Lord. They'll read with them. They'll pray with them. They'll bring their children to worship. They'll see that it's an important thing. They'll make it their priority. And Jesus tells us in Mark's gospel that, "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left their home, brothers or sisters, mothers or children, or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children's fields. And along with persecutions and the age to come, eternal life." So for those of us who have had our children baptized, as we have vowed before the Lord, that in dependence on divine grace, that we've promised to teach our children the truths and duties of the Christian faith by our prayers, teaching, and example, that we would, with God's help, provide a Christian home and bring our child to the worship and teaching of the church so that they may come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Here's the thing. You'll send them to school, won't you? You'll send them to school because it's for their best, even whenever they do not want to. You'll spend hours with them, doing their homework, getting alongside them, spending hours telling them that this is really important and serious. How much time in comparison do we spend teaching them the truths of the Word of God? How much time do we spend in prayer with our children, reading the Word with them? How much time do we focus on providing a Christian home where the Lord is honored all week and on the Sabbath it is His day? How much time? And congregation, you see, it's not only the children, our children, that are a gift from the Lord. It's in fact everything that we have. We should treat everything that we have as it comes from the Lord, because the Lord is the one who gives us our strength every day. The Lord is the one who gives us the breath in our body. He gives us our minds, our hands, whatever it may be. Here in Hannah's offering, as she gives such an excessively generous gift, she's able to do so because the Lord has blessed her. Let us give to God what is already His. And finally, these are the days of the judges. These are the days in 1 Samuel when every man did what was right in his own eyes. Yet the Lord was at work. The Lord, through this family, was bringing forth a new leader to represent the people of God, to institute the monarchy that would lead ultimately to our great King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hannah gave her son, and the Lord gave His only begotten Son, so that while we were still sinners, He died for us while we were still sinners, so that we might know the glorious riches that there is, the forgiveness of sin, the hope of the resurrection, so that in all that we face in this life, as it is a broken world, as it is a world that will always leave us disappointment, as it is a world that is wearying and a world that is hard, that it is a world that seems to get darker and darker and further away from the truth of God, that we may have hope, hope of what lies ahead, hope in the midst of darkness. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come this day. We've thought about much. We've read Your Word, and as we've looked at it, we're so thankful because it speaks into our lives. Your Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and Lord, it does what it is supposed to do. Heavenly Father, help us to hear it, to know it, to understand it, to be overflowing with thankfulness in our lives for You, the Lord God, who indeed has sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus, so that we may indeed have hope in the midst of a world of darkness. But Lord, remind us that even though this world is a world of darkness, You are still at work bringing about Your plans and purposes, that You have from beginning to end everything laid out, and we are thankful and filled with the praise of You because of it. So Lord, help us to grow deeper in our knowledge and love of You. Help us to know the great grace that You freely offer us. And then Lord, to take Your Word with the seriousness that it deserves in our lives. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word, how that it is all that we need to guide us on to salvation, to give us the truth of who You are and all that we need to know. Lord, help us to overflow with thanksgiving. And Lord God, as we pray at this time, we remember those whom We know and love. We bring our prayers of supplication, prayers for the needy world that we live in, a world of darkness. Heavenly Father, as there still is so much uncertainty with what the future holds, it's a global pandemic. Oh God, help us. Help this world to look to you, to know that unless Christ is at the on the throne in their lives and in our world, Lord, there is no hope. Give our leaders wise counsel. Help them to make wise decisions as they seek to mitigate the effects of a pandemic. For our own leaders here in this land, as there's been threat and counter-threat over the EU protocol, we do pray that our leaders may work together for the good of all people in this land. And Lord God, as we know the effects of a pandemic continue, we do bring before you all of those up in Glasswater Lodge. And Lord God, that you may be at work there as COVID is in there, and that, Lord, that there may be, you may bring comfort, healing where it is needed, an assurance that because Christ lives, all those who believe will live also. Heavenly Father, we do pray for our own needs. Lord, the struggles that we have, the things that we've came to you and we've cried out for, and we've been left speechless. We've left been feeling that you do not answer, or we've wanted your answer yesterday and it hasn't come. Give us patience. Help us to know that you are indeed at work. You hear our prayers all in and through the name of Jesus Christ. And that our prayers are heard. Heavenly Father, we continue to pray for the Kirk session tomorrow night. And Lord, that you would lead the elders of this church, that you may give them wise counsel and wisdom. And that, Lord, to you in this place, among us as a people, that you may be given all the glory, honor, and praise, and that to us your word may be what we look to in everything. Heavenly Father, we pray all this in and through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to join together to sing God's praise once more, this time in the words of "The Lord is my salvation."
From the raging sea.
And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.